Philippians chapter 4 this evening. On Wednesday night we have more of an opportunity to study the Bible together. I've been praying about something I've been wanting to do for years, and coming up into the fall or winter months we probably do that. I just get excited about the tabernacle and what it means about our approach to God, how we approach God, and so we may be looking at that. But just a few weeks ago we began a series of practical series about things to overcome in our everyday life and living. And we're going to look at something tonight. We're going to be talking about overcoming. And we're going to read in just a moment Philippians chapter 4. But tonight we're going to talk about overcoming worry. I was worrying whether they would get my thing working or not so I could have my sermon slides on worry, but they got it working. Here's the scripture. Be careful for nothing. Now that's just Paul's way of saying don't worry. That's his language for don't worry. Be careful for nothing. He's not saying don't be careful. You know, we'll tell folks when they get in the car and start to go somewhere, be careful. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Let your requests be known to God. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service we've already had. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that we've felt and have experienced and encountered, Lord, tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me share in such a way that our lives would be changed in everyday living. God, help us, oh God, to experience your presence in the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Overcoming worry. One man said he was in a lady's office, a Christian worker's office, and he saw a plaque on the wall that says, "Why pray when you can worry?" I didn't find that. I found there's actually a book that says, "Why pray when you can worry?" Actually, they got it backwards. It ought to be, "Why worry when you can pray?" That's what Paul said. He says, "Don't worry, but pray." Aren't you glad we can pray about things? What an avenue we have. You know, sometimes I appreciate our church sign and the job Sister Judy does on it, and sometimes they don't get things quite right on the church sign. Here's one church sign: "Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help." Well, help you, not help kill you, okay? But the thing is, worries can kill you. Worries can kill you. Now, you see, there's a lot to worry about today. How many knows that? I hear conversations even in the church. We get to thinking about the economy and the way things are politically, and someone will say, "I'm really worried about," fill in the blank, "what's going on in our world." Someone else will say, "You know, what worries me?" Fill in the blank. And there's so much to worry about. And that's an easy thing to do. Now the world, here's, you know, they treat things simplistically. This is a sign that you'll see in the world: "Don't worry, be happy." And of course, a little smiley face helps, you know. I mean, just like that. Don't worry, be happy. In our scripture tonight, Paul says, "Don't worry, just pray." And I wonder about that. You know, I mean, how is it that easy? I mean, how do you do that? How do you not worry and just pray? How do you not worry and be happy? Is it really that easy? I mean, you know, is there a knob somewhere you can turn from worry to happy? How many would turn it if you could? You know, maybe there's a switch you can switch from happy or from worry to happy. Or maybe, you know, we're used to computers. Maybe there's some way we can go into our settings. How would you like that? You know, go into your settings and take it off of worry and put the setting on happy and then reboot and all of a sudden you're not worried anymore. You're just happy and singing the praises. That would be nice if it worked that way. But what I think happens, I believe we can not worry and we can pray, we can be happy if we follow the principles of God's words. You know, here's the thing I want you to think about. You know, in truth, only humans worry. Have you ever seen? Now, I know there's lots of other emotions and expressions they have, but as far as we know, animals don't sit around and worry about things. You don't say, my dog looks worried. Have you ever seen a cat wringing its paws? Just worried. Well, it's humans that worry. And you know the reason it's humans that worry, Brother Oki, is because we're the only ones that can think about the future. Other animals don't think about the future. We're created in the image of God. We can think about the future. And it's in that that this thing worry comes in, because we get concerned about the future. We worry about the future to the point we ruin today. How many's ever ruined today because you were worried about the future? It's a human thing. But then again, it's a human thing to pray too. You don't see the dog or cat praying, but you can see a human praying, choosing not to worry, but rather to pray. You know, I find it interesting that our English word for worry comes straight from the word strangle. That's why, I mean, in other words, if you went back centuries and centuries and you heard them talking about worry in English, they would have been talking about strangling. And, yeah. How many's ever had worry get a hold of you that way? I mean, just strangle the peace right out of you. Doesn't worry do that? When worry gets a hold of your mind, doesn't it just strangle peace? Have you ever had worry strangle the joy right out of you? Strangle the joy, the peace, the life right out of you? How many knows what it's like? You're just about to fall asleep. Oh, I mean, you're so comfortable. You're floating on big fluffy clouds. I mean, you're just about to go to La La Land. And this thing pops in your mind that you're worried about. And instantly you're awake again. Someone said last night. That's what worry will do for you. I mean, you're having a good time with your family. You're laughing. You're enjoying it. I mean, it's just great. And all of a sudden that thing you're worried about pops in your mind. And that joy just goes, it's gone. Amen. You're trying to pray and your mind is stuck like a broken record. Now, a lot of these young people probably don't even know what that means, that expression, broken record. But how many still knows what that means? When the record player got stuck, it just keeps. How many's ever had your mind get stuck right there? Right in there. Right in that rut. You couldn't think. You couldn't pray. You couldn't worship. You was about to worship God and worry hits you. You know, worry is killing people. I'm not just talking about physically, but though I believe it has killed some folks physically, but it's killing them. I mean, it's killing everything about them, their life, their vitality, their joy. Worry is driving people to deep despair, discouragement, depression. Worry is taking the joy out of serving God. You know, we ought to just serve God, but we get caught up in worries, and we can come to a service and, wow, that youth choir, the way they sing, God, you've been good. But you could let the worry steal what you felt of God. It takes the joy out of serving God. Worry is causing frustrated blow-ups in family. It doesn't have to be in the family. It can be at work. But there's a lot of things to worry about. And so there's these blow-ups between husband and wife and parents and children. It's worry. And you can add to the list. We'll get through the problem in a moment and get to the solution. But worry's not something to mess with. You know, some people make things real simple. And I've heard preachers pontificate, I guess you would call it. And they'll get up and say, I want you to know worry is sin. Well, you know, if that's true, a whole lot of us go around sinning all the time. Now, what I do believe is worry can lead to sin when worry leads to unbelief and leads to disobedience and leads to turning from God. It can lead to sin. But you see, here's some things to think about worry. You know, it comes from the way we're created. We must learn not to worry, but the worry comes because we are created in the image of God. He's created us to plan and to think about tomorrow. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of us that just have that temperament. we have to analyze everything. We have to think everything through. You know, life to us is a chess game. And you're thinking, well, if they do this, then this is going to happen. If I do this, that's going to happen. And some folks, it's just a natural part of them to worry. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You'd say, that's my temperament. You know, I mean, sometimes you get worried because you realize you haven't been worried about anything. You think to yourself, shouldn't I be worried about something? How many's like that? Some of you are honest. Some of you have a temperament to be dishonest. But anyway, I mean, some folks are like that. I mean, it's a part of them. Amen. But you know, some people say, oh, I don't worry. I'm just at peace. And I'm thankful for that because I believe that's possible in God. That's where we're headed tonight. But you know, some people aren't peaceful. They're just too lazy to care about anything. Amen? I've got to hurry here. Worry is universal. It's everywhere. Worry is worthless. Can anyone tell me how worry has done any good in your life? One man did. He said, worry must work. Because 90% of the things I worry about never happen. It must be working. Well, he's reasoning all wrong. Worry is unhealthy. It causes high blood pressure, causes stomach problems, heart trouble. Worry is the enemy of our happiness, our peace, our contentment in God. Let's just have a simple definition. What is worry? It means to be troubled. We're going to end here tonight about what God says about this, but to be troubled. I don't like to see folks troubled. You know, we try to act tough as Christians sometimes and act like we're never troubled, but I'm telling you, in every service, every time we gather, there's folks that are troubled. It means to be anxious, filled with anxiety. It means to have something on your mind you can't get off your mind. I think the question is, and I hope you will hear me out, but is all worry bad? Is all worry wrong? Is all worry sin? Let's think about this. Parent says to one of these young people, you got a big test tomorrow, don't you? Yes. Are you studying? No. Shouldn't you be studying? Oh, Mom, I'm not worried about that test. The Bible says, don't worry. And so I'm not going to worry about that old test. You think they might ought to worry? Kid wanders out. Little toddler wanders out of the yard through the fence, standing right in the middle of the road. Of a busy road, cars coming in the distance. And you say, I'm not going to worry about it. God said, don't worry. How many's got natural gas in your house? About to go to sleep. What's that? Smells like natural gas. Oh, well, we'll take care of it in the morning. Bible says, don't worry. Is all worry wrong? Is all worry bad? You see, worry means to be troubled and to be anxious, but worry also means to be concerned. And in this sense, worry's not bad when you're truly concerned about something. But you see, to be concerned, the right kind of worry involves things that we could or should take responsibility for. Let's go back to these kids. The parents trying to get them to study, big test tomorrow, and they're saying, the Bible says, don't worry, I'm not worried about it. That's the kind of worry you should have because that's something you could and should take responsibility for. You smell the natural gas? Dad, you get up, you check it out. Why? That's the right kind of worry. It's a concern. You take responsibility for it. This kind of worry involves present realities and not future possibilities. This is a kind of worry that is right, to be concerned, to carry your own burden, the Bible says, to be found faithful, and you take care of things that are in the present. Amen. The worry that is bad is one that disturbs your peace of mind. It's a foundationless, baseless thing, and it disturbs you. I want you to know God wants us to have peace of mind. And by peace of mind, we're not just talking about the gray matter. We're talking about our hearts. In fact, I didn't read it, but the next verse says, the peace of Christ shall keep your hearts and your minds. How many believes God wants us to have peace of mind? And so that worry is bad, disturbs the peace of mind, afflicts us with mental anguish. There are people that are living with mental anguish in their minds. And I want to tell you, on our own, no matter how disciplined we are, we're not going to be able to conquer these things. But with God, we can conquer them. He knows how to give peace of mind. He knows how to take the anxiety out of our hearts. Worry will dig a rut in your mind. Every time you go over that thing, the rut gets deeper till you can't get out of it. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that can lift you out of the rut. Hallelujah. Amen. The worry that's bad is the one that troubles your soul. It goes deeper than the gray matter and even the heart. It troubles the very soul of man. That is a bad worry. Amen. That is a worry that's all about what will be, the future, what could be. I mean, this kind of worry creates and gets stuck on the worst possible scenario. I'm telling you, all this involves the future. We just need to realize we have no control over the future, but we know a God who controls the future. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be God tomorrow. In fact, I want to correct that. God is already in your tomorrow. Think about that. God is already in tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, there is that. This is something worry's not. We call it worry, but this is something we should be. Worried is not being concerned. You can say, well, I'm not worried, but if it's something you should be concerned about, you should be worried. Worry is not taking care to plan. Some people don't plan. It's coming on winter. There's things you need to do when winter gets here, and they say, I'm not worried about it. That's not what the Bible means when it says not to worry. Worry's not being cautious. We need to be cautious. You need to take care. You need to plan. You go out, you notice your tires have no tread left on them. They're thin. You don't just say, I don't worry about that. You be cautious. You realize there's some things that you need to do. But we need not be so disturbed about the future that we lose the peace of God for today. Amen. Amen. Worry is not leaving the future. Amen. Or going over the future and being disturbed about it. Amen. That'll destroy you. That's not what God wants us to do. Amen. God wants us to give our future to Him and trust Him. We've talked about the problem. Let's talk about overcoming worry. First of all, I want to talk about there is a command not to worry. That I read to you tonight from Paul, I'll go back to this in a moment, but Paul said, be careful for nothing. That is a command. That is a command not to worry. In Jesus' words, all of Matthew 6, He deals this thing of worry. And Jesus calls worry taking thought. And Jesus says, take no thought. That means don't worry. Paul says, be careful for nothing. That means not to worry. But in Matthew 6, and we don't have time to get into all of that. If we did, we would. But we're going to end at the end, or we're going to start at the end of what Jesus said. But He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. That's Jesus' words for don't worry about. Take therefore no thought. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus gives us a command not to worry. And this command, I see things that will help us overcome worry. Here they are. First of all, pursue the right things and you'll worry less. Pursue the right things and you'll worry less. You know, a lot of things we worry about are things that we shouldn't be after to start with. Amen? Here's what Jesus says. Seek the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about the kingdom of God. God's going to make sure it happens. God is going to take care of His kingdom. You can, and I cannot control the future. You know, we think of things in the future. We're worried about them. We cannot control those things. We can seek God about those things. Isn't that a good alternative, worry and seeking God? Pursue the right things. Prioritize things. Jesus says, seek ye first. In other words, put it on the top of your list. You know why we get worried about things? Because we get things out of priority in our life. When Andrew was real young, I don't know if he'd started kindergarten yet, at the house one night, he looked really worried. We could tell something was bothering him. And finally we said, Andrew, what's bothering you? Something bothering you? Yeah, yeah. What's bothering you? I'm worried. What are you worried about? I just don't know who I'm going to marry. I mean, it's something you don't need to worry about. You're 25. Right, kids? He should have been worried about learning how to read or learning how to write. I mean, things were out of priority in his life. You know, you got to tell yourself sometimes, if I'm worried, maybe I'm worried about things because they have a priority in my life and they shouldn't have. If I didn't have them so way up here, ranked so high, I mean, you know, some folks are really in trouble. I mean, they're worried about who's going to win American Idol. I don't know if that's still on or not. What you worried about? I mean, if you're worried about so many temporal and material and carnal things, no wonder folks are in a mess. But I'm telling you, if you get your life prioritized and God comes first, you don't have to worry about God. Amen. Prioritize your life. If we had time, we'd spend more time here, but let's move on. Another thing Jesus says under this, just ask yourself next time, is this something I should be worried about? I put high priority on it. That's why I'm worrying about it. But should I be worried about it? But Jesus says we should purify ourselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, if I'm seeking material things and I'm seeking popularity or I'm seeking pleasure, I'm going to be worried about a whole lot of things. But first and foremost, I should be seeking His righteousness in my life. Hallelujah. And He's more willing to give that to me than I am to have it. Praise the Lord. Would I be worried about this if my motives and attitudes and heart were pure? Sometimes ask yourself, would I really be worried about this? If motives and attitudes, but if I'll seek righteousness. You know, when you know everything's well with your soul, you can have the idea that everything's going to be well with everything else. How many knows that's true? When you've spent time with God and you know everything's right with your soul, worry goes out the door because if it's right with your soul, it's going to be right with everything else. Amen. And last of all, package things. Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Package things of what you can do today and what must wait until tomorrow. And not all of us have this problem. But what's going to happen if right now I ask you to think of everything you've got to do the rest of the week? Tonight when you get home, all day tomorrow, I want you to list everything you got to do all day tomorrow. List everything you got to do all day Friday, all day Saturday. Just start thinking about everything you've got to get done. What's going to happen before you get out of here when you start thinking about everything you got? Not only that, Brother Tim, let's start thinking about everything we got to do for the year gets done here. And while you're at it, just think. In a few months, we got to start getting things ready to pay taxes. Let's think about tax time and getting everything ready to... How many's feeling better already? We skip Christmas. Think of everything you got to do for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Let's just start thinking about everything we got to do for the rest of our lives. I mean, you get this Christmas done, you got Christmas next year too. And you pay... Jesus said, package this thing. Only be concerned about what you got to do today. If you start thinking what you got to do tomorrow and the rest of the week, you're going to get upset today. It doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow. It just means if you can't do it until tomorrow, then just don't be concerned about it. Put it on your to-do list for tomorrow or whatever, but then leave it because you can't do it until tomorrow. Praise the Lord. My kids, I think they've grown up all right, but I used to tease them with things like, what did you do yesterday? No, I didn't put it that way. You know what I said, what did you do tomorrow? They said, Dad, what did I do tomorrow? What are you talking about? We do that with worry. We're living more in the future than we are in today. And then package things into what you have control over, what you have no control over. That's what Jesus is really saying. You don't have any control over tomorrow. So leave it until tomorrow. Amen. And so think to yourself next time you begin to worry, do I have any control over this? If you have no control over it, refuse to worry about it. And then there's some questions in overcoming worry. I found it really helps to ask yourself this. And I've led up to it with that last statement, but have I done all I can do? If you've done all you can do, you've done all you can do. Have you ever found when you come to the end of yourself, you come to God? When you've done all you can do, you get to what God can do. Isn't that true? But if you've done all you can do, then you don't need to worry about it. Ask yourself this question: am I right with God? You see, when we got big problems and things that's worrying us, we start to feel like we're not right with God. If we're not, get it right. Right? But if you're right with God, then you're right with God. And if you're right with God, everything's going to be all right. Amen. So ask yourself the question, am I right with God? He's going to take care of us. What does God's Word have to say about this? What does God's Word say about what I should do? What will happen? What does God's Word say about what He will do? Does God's Word ever say anywhere that He'll fail us sometimes? Have you ever read where God's Word said, well, some of my people aren't going to make it? No. I mean, I'm glad to have this right here. And I know what your mind will tell you. I know what your worry will tell you. I know what your friend might tell you. But when you're worried, think about that thing in terms of what does God's Word say about it? What does God's Word? You say, well, things look really bad. We're all going to end up destroyed. No. God's going to take care of His own. What are the past things that I worried about that never happened? And you ask this question because if you think for a moment, you can think of a lot of things that you worried about that never happened. So there's a big possibility that the things you're worried about right now aren't going to happen. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you know about her, who spent the time in the concentration camp. She said, worry is an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. Mark Twain, he said, I'm an old man and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. What he's saying is I experienced them anyway because I worried about them. They never actually happened, but I experienced them through worry. Another question to ask to overcome worry is, what do I have to rejoice about? I'm worried about this thing, but what do I have to rejoice about? Have you ever done that? Let's stop for a minute. Stop thinking about what we have to worry about. Let's think for a minute what we have to rejoice about. Can you think of anything you have to rejoice about? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Paul was writing that from a prison cell when he says, be careful for nothing. And in that epistle, he says over and over, rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. What do we have to be grateful? I know I'm worried about this thing, but what do I have to be grateful about? And another question to ask, and you can add to the list, but to overcome worry, have I really prayed about it and left it with God? You know, our minds will rush off down that road of worry before we've reined them in to really pray and bring it to God. Oh, hallelujah. How many senses a need to pray like you've never prayed? It's not a futile exercise. Young people, things can really worry you when you're young. Any age. But I'm talking about, learn to pray about those things. Maybe not, but you may worry about whether you'll ever have a career or ever make it through school or ever have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Don't just go down that road of worry. Learn to pray. Be careful for nothing, but with supplications and prayer. Last of all tonight, just some practical conduct for overcoming worry. When you find yourself worrying, Paul says this. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Instead of expositing those things that Paul says to do, I just want to point out that what he is saying is, when you worry, do something. Now, he told us to pray, but what he's saying is, do something. We worry when we get shut down and get locked up in our thoughts. But when you're worrying, do something. Now, it's good to do spiritual things. It's good to pray. It's good to read your Bible. But do something. Go help somebody. Amen. Take a walk. Amen. Whatever. But when you start worrying, do something. Now, I know the best thing you can do is pray. But after you pray, continue to do something. That's what Paul's saying. Don't sit there and worry. Don't lie there and worry. But get up and do something. Pray. Supplicate. Give thanks. Make a request. Amen. Help somebody out. Do something. Sing something. I remember one time I was particularly worried about something, and I sat down on the piano and I began to play and sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word." And I sang that over and over and over and over and over. Why? Why do I say sing something? Because, see, worry is a thing of the mind. Your mind gets in the rut. But I'm telling you, a song is something that can get in the mind too. Amen? You ever had a song in your mind? And I'm not trying to divide it from the heart and all that. I'm just saying, instead of letting that worry play over and over, why not let that song play over and over? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. God is bigger. Amen. I sang that song the other day. God is bigger. Read something. Not the newspaper. You'll worry more. Read the Bible. Amen. Read a biography of God's a person of God who God has been faithful to in spite of great difficulties. And last of all, you can add to this, but believe something. We find it easy to believe our worries. But believe something. When you start worried about something, get a promise from God's Word and say, I'm going to believe that. It seems like the odds are against you. Get the promise of God. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And say, I'm going to believe that. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what my mind is saying. I'm going to believe. It looks like the odds are all against me. But I'm going to believe that promise that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. When you pass through the fire, it's not going to burn. Pass through the waters, they're not going to overcome you. You feel like you're about to drown. But I'm going to believe that. God said I can come through these flood waters. So I'm coming through. Believe something. Put your faith in God. Music, would you come? You know, Sister Hurst, come with her. Let's see if you can do this. This is fun. Maybe a solo. You may or may not know this. Let me tell you the story first. Back when aviation had just begun and they were making an attempt to fly around the world. And I don't remember which pilot. One of the pilots had just left the airport 2 hours previously. And as he was flying through the air, just single pilots back then, a plane similar to this one, in the back behind him, he heard some gnawing. It took him a minute to be aware of what it was, and he realized what it was. That when he landed at that airport, a rat had got on his plane. And what he heard was that rat back there gnawing. And all of a sudden it hit him. There's a lot of cables back then that controlled the rudders and different things. It hit him that very probably that rat was gnawing on one of those cables. And if he nodded and knew, the pilot would have no control over the plane and the plane would wreck. I'm telling you, you got troubles when you got rats gnawing on things. Didn't know what to do. 2 hours back to an airport, 2 hours ahead to an airport. Gnaw. And then it hit him, something he learned in school. It pays to pay attention. He learned that rats are a low altitude animal. They can't stand high altitudes. And he said, that's it. So he started climbing. Gnaw. Climbed 1,000 feet. Gnaw. Another 1,000 feet. Another 1,000 feet. Gnaw. Got up to 20,000 feet. And all of a sudden, there was silence. And the high altitude had killed the rat. When he landed, found the rat dead. Well, in this true story, but in the analogy, that rat is our worry. How many knows about that? Gnaw. There's something else rats do. Have you ever seen them go, these cages? I don't know. Probably our tax money discovered it. But one rat went 92,000 miles in his lifetime. Never went anywhere. That's what worry does. Go over the same thing. Never get anywhere. No. How many knows what I'm talking about? No. You know what? I think the answer is what that pilot discovered. Higher altitude. Through prayer and worship, claiming the promises of God, drawn closer to Jesus Christ. I believe we can get to an altitude that our worries start dying. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we just worship the Lord tonight? Could you? Oh, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, worship. Believe. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to overcome. Lord, we want to trust you more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you know this, sing a little bit of it. It's old. I don't know if we sing it around here, but it says higher ground. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Higher altitude.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high.
Oh, hallelujah. How many wants higher ground tonight? Amen. Would you like to just begin to come and say, oh Lord, I want higher ground tonight. I want to overcome. I want to overcome. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bring your worries to the Lord. Hallelujah. He can kill a rat that's destroying you. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Higher ground, I'm pressing on. Lights and